Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another splendiferous episode of No Need for Apologies. And you see the two guys in the corner. I'm Batman and Monroe is Black Man. And this is No Need for Apologies. Bro's not here right now because he's still healing. And I have my special guest, the very, very funny, very, very committed to the game, Sean Patton, one of my favorites.
I'm the penguin sitting in.
That's the boy. Oswald Cobblepot himself. The Penguin, Sean Patton.
I'm about as good at podcasting as a damaged Monroe Martin would be.
There you go. Week two. Week two. What'd you say?
Up?
What's up, boy?
What's up, y'all?
It's good to see.
I'm just dropping in. That's it.
Well, you healing up good.
Didn't you drop in on the interstate?
God damn. It was 59th Street Bridge, but okay.
59th Street Bridge, but I like the imagery.
Didn't you drop in? And I was quick. That was very swift.
Monroe, I swear to God, we were on, when it was just you and I, when Derek was busy flying in from road gigs, when I sat in with just you, didn't we like talk about how great that scooter is?
And absolutely, and then the handlebars broke.
We're singing its praises.
I'm like, it's amazing. Everyone, blip to jablubity,
nigga. When I mean jablubity for real, you was talking that jablubity, Derek. You got to get one, man.
You had it for 2 days,
and it was bomb. It was bomb. Yeah. I made the weight requirement, motherfucker. Like I was scooting around. God damn, I had no helmet on. And nigga, when that shit happened to you, I was like, God damn, I was out there free balling, bruh.
No helmet, nigga.
I was rotten. I was in them streets. You understand? I was cut through buses in Queens. I was living that life. I was Paul Walker with mine.
I'm gonna go back to living that life next year.
Get a Super 73 with a face helmet. Let's just all get Super 73s.
Face helmet. Yeah.
Let's just get Super 73s like adults. No more stand-up scooters, nigga.
Let's all move on. What's like a Rebel back. What is that?
Super 73 is like the top-notch e-bike right now.
Okay.
It's like a hybrid dirt bike and e-bike.
It's like a bomb at... Pull up a Super 73 so Sean Patton can see, because I might never get a car no more. Like I'm New York like this
only
now.
Only going to have a car. I'm terrified of these things.
You would die in a car, too.
You could die in a car, too.
Yeah, but I feel like it would be less painful.
Look at that shit right there. That's a sexy fucking...
I haven't rode one, but yeah, they look lit.
Ain't that a lit-looking bike?
Honest question about this. What do the fatter tires actually bring to the table? Stability?
Stability. Yeah. You can hit bumps a little better.
This is true. I should have realized.
It's a lot smoother.
I should have thought for 2 seconds and then...
That's what this fucking needed. I wish Ro had bigger tires on that goddamn scooter. So it's basically,
I had an e-bike coming, and then as soon as I got hospitalized, my wife was like, nah, I canceled that shit. I was like,
you could have let it sit and collect some dust.
I was like, it could have healed up, but we could have got right back at it. And she's like, nope, it's over.
Yeah, man.
But
you was going to get the one Minion got, right?
No, I was going to get another one. I was going to get this thing called Rad Runner, which is it's like a cargo e-bike. It's kind of dope, though.
And like an El Camino e-bike?
You sit straight up. Huh?
Like an El Camino e-bike? A cargo e-bike?
That's so fucking funny, El Camino.
No, a cargo e-bike is like, that's funny. But like, again, you can put somebody else on the back of it. And you can add like pad and stuff to like ride people around.
Yeah, man.
I was gonna get that one.
Oh, that shit.
You can add another head to slam into the concrete.
God damn.
that's what I think about whenever I see two people. Not you, just anyone. Whenever I see two people on a Revel or an I'm like, why are you doing this? Put a helmet on.
Rebel is back
like a motherfucker, man. Like
way back.
people died. They bounced back quicker than a fucking vaccine for coronavirus. Like, they really...
They bounced back quicker than my head.
Did you bounce when you fell? Let's just be honest.
I don't know. I was just like, I'm imagining.
Have you ever in your life, Sean, seen somebody bounce when they fall?
Yeah,
the
myself.
Worst shit. Yeah. To see somebody bounce? Oh, my God. Like, they fall and fall again? Oh, my God. True story. I bounced one time. I remember I was in a gospel group. I'll never forget this. I was in a gospel group, and we was doing, like, an outdoor festival in Camden, and it rained. And I was just trying to be cool. We had to hop over like this. There was a bar and it was a lunch table area. Yeah. Right? So it was raining. So I go to, you know how you hop the bar, you grab the bar and try to kick your legs over.
Yeah.
I did that, but then slipped because my foot caught the bar. It was wet. So not only did I fall, then I fell onto the lunch table bench.
Yeah.
And then the floor. So I fell three times and everybody saw it. And black people are the greatest at not being sympathetic. Yeah. When you bust your ass.
When you fall.
And when you bust your ass three times, you're going to get laughed at the rest of the night.
Did you blame the Lord?
Yeah.
I did.
Gospel group. The Lord was in me.
I said I must have had some unclean thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I was a good Christian boy. I didn't blame anything on God. It was all me. I must have fucked up.
Yeah.
And I must have had some unclean thoughts about pussy, and I fell three times.
Of course.
Bang, bang, bang.
Of course you were in a gospel group in New Jersey. That makes a lot of sense.
I used to sing. I used to sing in the choir.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. You never hear Derek crooning when we have the banner.
Yes, indeed. Where the fuck you think I got from?
You're a guy. I could have never even heard you sing and would still be like, no, Derek can definitely. I trust you.
Shouldn't we have melodies from heaven, Lord?
That's actually,
I did all that when I was a kid. Yeah, my mom, because my mom, single parents, they do what the fuck they can to raise their children without raising them.
Hallelujah. I can't.
So it sounds like you're being shaked.
I'm actually masturbating. And I just want to orgasm.
Now you sound like Hootie. You sound like Hootie. And I want to orgasm.
Oh, I just want to come in your other hand. Derek Darius Rucker.
That's his name.
That's that guy's name.
And Darius Rucker is such a not country singing name.
No.
Darius Rucker. That nigga sound like he play ball or he kill motherfuckers. Okay.
We're going Casey and JoJo?
Okay.
Thought y'all wanted some gospel music.
No, this is for Monroe.
No, we need like black gospel. That's
this
like
white gospel.
Fucking,
this is white as shit. Rock. Give me a second.
This is like Christian rock. Nigga, this is not. Niggas don't like Christian rock.
White gospel. Black gospel is just hand clapping and then the instruments.
Yeah. It's
white
just
tambourines. Yeah, we like. Nigga, what?
That's the fuck is that? That's Dennis Austin.
What is that? It's what's coming up.
Yes.
No,
it's
shit.
Smooth
you know
jazz
all the
gospel.
All the Kenny G gospel
smooth,
out there.
What is that? Smooth jazz
gospel. Smooth gospel.
You can't have smooth gospel because smooth jazz gets your pussy.
Smooth gospel get that Holy Ghost.
Yeah, you
creeping
get that deaconess pussy. You don't do that. Not with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to even think like, what white gospel.
White gospel.
Sounds like
there you go.
Yeah.
I got it. I just looked up clapping gospel.
That's so racist. That's not
Yeah.
Do me like Jesus now.
See, this sounds like you did something. Like you, this sounds like you did something right. Whereas, like white gospel sounds like you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, turn it off. Say that one more time. Turn it off.
Like black gospel sounds like you did something right and you're being congratulated. White gospel sounds like you were in trouble. Like you fucked up. You're in the principal's office. Ooh, Lord, come down on me. That isn't gospel.
That's your.
Well, I wouldn't even call it gospel though. It was Catholic Church. It was just it was just the people there, and it's like, and he prays he upon high land, but you're all just, there's no like. I feel like black God. You actually have people who like, I will sing.
Yeah.
I will learn to sing. I will.
Everybody want to be a soloist.
Yeah.
You know how many black soloists I know? I'll sing this Sunday. It'd be whack. I've seen so many soloists bomb on Sunday morning, bro.
Was there ever a gospel solo battle?
There's no. They do them verses now, but not like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, I will say that McDonald's used to host a gospel festival jam. It was a choir battle. Battle of the choirs.
Yeah, McDonald's does everything black.
Oh, yeah. From basketball to fucking big time dunk black contest. Yeah, man. Who remember got the best potato salad?
Remember McDonald's 365? That was like, celebrate your black history with a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Every day of February, you could get something that could do some black shit to you, like raise your blood pressure. Yep.
They're just pandering. A 12-piece McNugget is the cure for sickle cell anemia.
Nigga, they used to sell a 20-piece. It was a 20-piece. You get a 20-piece, $5.
Yeah,
I mean, that's I'll go right now to McDonald's.
Or
just hearing that, I'm like, right now I'll go.
It's not too far off from the African kente cloth. They only need like green and like black.
All they need is green and like a little like the Martin font.
Yeah,
and like McDonald's could be all 90s. Like if they had making sure we're at McDonald's and they put the M and then just another black, green, red. Come on, bro. You know you on to something, nigga. The Nino Brown McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Nino Brown owns this McDonald's. He's put some of his drug money into the
God.
No, McDonald's gospel jams, basketball tournaments, fucking the 365, Chicken Selects when McDonald's made niggas feel fancy. Oh, ooh. When the thought bitches was coming in with Chicken Select. Remember Chicken Selects?
I mean, never forget the McRib.
Chicken Select, muscle fucking nuggets. That's what they was called.
Muscle nuggets.
Which this was like this big. Chicken Select was like this fucking big.
It was a souped up piece of
three
chicken.
Three of them?
Double filet of fish. That's something you can only get in Canada.
Dang.
Nah, double filet of fish. I used to work at McDonald's when I was younger. You get double anything when you're stealing.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, nigga.
Is it easy to? I feel like it's hard to steal from McDonald's. Like everything's coded.
If you say that, okay, I can see that McDonald's being coded like that. But Burger King, that shit was a barbecue.
Yeah,
every day when I worked at Burger King, we put eggs and barbecue sauce, bacon on a double. You can make a whole different.
That's how every American fast food place is abroad. Uh-huh. It's all like they'll be like the breakfast Whopper, and you're like, "What do you mean a breakfast Whopper?"
Yeah,
it's just a Whopper, but with bacon and eggs
but
on the Whopper.
They went brunch. When motherfuckers try to take fast food, make a brunch. That's innovative. Like, we was doing it. That was what?
Yeah.
2001. Oh,
I used to have to make griddle cakes in my pocket and eat them throughout the day.
You had loose.
What?
Loose McGriddle, the little McGriddle cakes.
And just.
Because remember the McGriddle sandwich?
Yeah, of course I did. I drawed for you.
Fucking. It was delicious. So the little buns, the little pancake buns.
They got syrup in them.
So we used to take them, cook them, and then hide them in our apron, and then just eat them throughout the day.
That's some black nigga shit. That's some fat nigga shit.
That's just some human shit right there. I want to do that right now. I would eat Wendy. Like, I'd eat Wendy's every single day of my fucking life if there was one near me. It's bad.
They had good nuggets, though. God damn, Wendy's had good nuggets.
Wendy's would be my favorite of all the fast food chains.
Negri wanted to say something. What did you want to say, Negri?
I was going to say, because you guys are talking about fast food, I'm pretty sure the place, fast food place I worked at my senior year, I'm the reason they shut down because of food costs. 100%.
Because of costs?
Because you had shit.
You better make sure the statute of limitations is passed before you confess.
100%.
Before you fess up to something right now.
Yeah.
I worked at a fast food, like Greek food, like falafels and shit in South Florida.
Okay.
And, dude, my fucking family's Mediterranean. I'd fucking make salads for my mom, like chicken. Bro,
because you was hooking people to fuck.
Dude,
I see.
My friends would come in and be like, yo, let me pay for it. I'd be like, nah, bro, it's all me.
I got it.
Every single time. I had chicks purposely would come over. I'd give them food, everything. And one day I'm getting ready for work. And I get a text, and it's from my boss, and he's like, hey, I got a call this morning to come in and board up. Food costs are way too high. We have to shut down immediately. And I was just about to, like, graduate, and I looked back to, like, dude, every time I went to work, I left with, like, $60 worth of food.
Yeah, because you're a jackass.
Jackass.
A family business crumbled.
The only way this works, and here's the thing, if you're going to steal, stupid, you got to steal something that has a growing bank. I used to steal at a amusement park. I used to sell prizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I used to be at spots where your bank would always grow. So you can always shave off the top because they only needed 250 back.
Yeah.
So if I went over, if I did 251, that dollar was mine. So just imagine, I'm selling prizes, but by the end of the day, if I still got 250 off an ungrowing bank and just say the game was slow, nigga, that's $500 a night. I'm just pulling dough. Buying sneaks, going to movies.
The barbershop next door would order food over the phone for everyone to come out for like $60. I would go deliver the food. That shit never got rung up. That shit never. That was weed money.
And, wow, and you know,
y'all are good.
You know what I says, Monroe? You know what I says? The Greeks is just as bad as niggas.
Uh-oh. That's the cops.
I muted his mic.
That's the FBI.
Nah, Greeks is just bad as niggas, Monroe, because they didn't do inventory. They should have known something was up.
Should never hired me.
Oh, Ro on the phone. Ro on
right, I'm going to take Ro off.
What happened?
Okay.
Oh, is that Keith? Because he's supposed to see you today.
Yeah.
Y'all supposed to have a crippled date.
You want me to keep him on? Oh.
He can come back when he wants.
He can come back. But no, what else?
You know, I worked for my dad has a catering business. I worked for him as a young man. I stole $300 one year specifically to buy Christmas presents.
Okay.
I embezzled money and then reinvested it in family relations. That's what kind of pussy I am.
That's kind of Robin Hoodish of you. Steal from yourself to get back to yourself or get back to your family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. At the beginning of the story, I was like, damn.
Steal from the family to get back to
your family. It was dumb.
That's backhanded. That's like
everybody. Like? I mean,
everybody do that. Steal from the family to get back to the family.
I've
seen that in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, stealing, like, especially, like, when you work in the service industry, I think as the owner, operator of any business, you have to accept, like, your employees are stealing.
Yeah.
You have to, like, 100%. They're going to.
100%.
But it's shit that is not good. Like, if you let them get away with McGriddles in the pocket and an occasional fucking salad, it's fine.
Occasional.
But here's what I will say. You know who I think
don't steal.
You know who I think don't steal? Because if they do, they'll have to do some of that Handmaid's Tale bullshit is Chick-fil-A. If you steal from them, you're going to... They gonna fuck you.
They won't send you to college.
Baby out you. They gonna take a male baby, child. And then they gonna make you just be like, if you steal from Chick-fil-A, nigga, you gonna be in a dungeon fucking with a dress on because it's not even set. Like my mom made me watch Handmaid's Tale during quarantine. That's some dark white people shit, right there.
Very dark white people shit.
I was like, what?
You fuck about Chick-fil-A? They just make you work at McDonald's.
And they're gonna take. They take your firstborn son and make them manage a Chick-fil-A, no matter what they want to do in life.
And here's the thing, Chick-fil-A so. Clean, I think they could deliver babies if they wanted to. Like, they could have a side hustle to delivering those Christ babies, those weird... Because, you know, man, like, I think Chick-fil-A on some culty shit anyway, because the service is way too nice. I've never seen fast food or taste of fast food this goddamn good. It's closed Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's too... Like, they got the kids from the Bronx and Brooklyn acting all etiquette-like. In the 34th and 8th Avenue joint. I'm like, how the fuck they get y'all rowdy-ass New York kids to act normal?
Everybody, all my friends in high school worked at a Chick-fil-A, and they were all fucking weirdos.
Weirdos?
Yeah, they all...
Talking about the service at Chick-fil-A, bro. How I think if... What you about to say?
I like the service at Chick-fil-A.
I know you do, but it's too good. They got something going. They drinking the arsenic and the Kool-Aid.
It's because they don't like gay people. That's why. Yeah. They're giving you...
That's what makes it so delicious is the guilt. The guilt you feel eating it. It's deep fried guilt.
Deep fried guilt.
Oh, God.
There's hate in the grease. That's why it's so good.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of hate in the grease.
Exactly.
You ever go somewhere, like, you know, you go to them hick towns?
Yeah.
Like, this is what I've noticed. Racist people, God, I hate saying this. A lot of racist down south people can cook really good.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe barbecue, I'll give you that.
My pop's family-in-law is from West Virginia. West Virginia is a real racist place. They're not racist. That actual family, because they brought my dad in, but they know how to make some corn casserole, some macaroni and cheese, and fucking, like, slow-cooked ribs. You'd be like, how the fuck do these white people not? Because they took everything from, like, their nannies and the people outside.
But you got to think about what cooking is. Cooking is a way for you to clear your mind, right?
Yeah.
And when you cook and you like fucking niggers,
They're taking jobs away. Like, what? I don't feel like I've ever met rich racists, though. Every racist I knew was very, very poor.
Yeah. Rich racists, they have a way.
Oh, they exist. I know that. Obviously.
Absolutely. They just hide in the shadows and do things, you know, like charity work and shit.
Oh, nigga. And don't you ever go to one of they, don't ever go to their house and you start hearing them, the little shit they say in the back end. You'll be like, oh, okay. You got to watch for the rich, because they'll try to, hey, man, I'm cool with it. I'm with the cool stuff.
Well, I mean, I worked at a restaurant in high school called Copeland's.
Okay.
Named after Al Copeland, who's a big fucking money. He's a big guy in New Orleans. But okay. We had that manager who black-talked every black employee.
The code switch.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh. Code switch, that's the word now. But, like, yeah, where to you, he's just like, hey, so need you to bust table 39, 38, 36 ASAP, and then to, like, the fucking black alley. Yo, what's up, my homie? Pound it out. Huh? Did you smoke a blunt before you came in? Because it's okay. Just next time, invite me. You know what I mean? Get in there, bust. You know what I mean? No, you don't have to do shit.
Get in there and bust some if you want to. If you want.
No, this was late 90s. There was no guilt about it. It was yeah. But yeah, that was code switch. I forget the word, the phrase now.
Code switching. We charge him grief for code switching, but he told me he's just from Florida and he run around with all the niggas with gold teeth.
Some people can't.
I did say this to you before the show. I'm fucking sick of this shit.
Yeah.
We charge
I'm from South Florida.
He got code switch surgery when he was when he was 14. That's what the hood is. It's a bandage covering where they had to cut his brain open.
You ever see a poodle born in the litter around pit bulls? That's what Negri is.
the meanest poodle.
That poodle has pit bull energy.
A patoodle.
That's a patoodle right there. That's a pit-toodle bully.
My thinks he's a pit.
Wait,
there's got to be pit toodles, like real pit bull.
Can they probably pit bull? See, pull up a half, see if they breed
a pit, poodle.
Pit bulls and poodles.
A poodle bull, a boodle.
Yeah, it's probably ugly. Like?
It's ugly, probably.
I got to say it is. I'm betting it's ugly.
I don't like any.
My God.
Yeah, of course.
Patoodle.
Look at that shit.
This shit is.
Look at the
badookie.
I don't like.
It's a weird dog.
I think the poodle. Look at that. Fucking crazy.
That's a psycho. That dog like Rick James.
It looks like Jeff Gurian. You know that
there
guy?
There you go. He do got Jeff Gurian hair. That's a Jeff Gurian patoodle.
But that's. I don't like.
Ball. Why the fuck?
That one looks. That's a
rascal fun thing.
That's a cuter one.
He has a nice smile, but look at the rest.
He's a poodle slash pit bull. Of course, they're gonna fuck around and.
I'm gonna make that my new profile picture.
How many? Do you ever?
You know, I don't want to happen. You remember that episode of Rick and Morty when the dogs took over because they got the machines?
Yeah.
I want something like, because you crossbreeding animals, like, it's some real Dr. Moreau shit they doing with dogs now.
Whenever they
there's a dog this big. Yeah, there's rich bitches with dogs that can fit in the palm of their hand.
It's
that
eugenics, basically, you know, but like.
It's Jurassic Park, nigga. They doing, it's the same shit, but it's, with mammals.
And frog DNA. I don't like when they add the poodle to anything. The fucking Labradoodle, the fucking Puggle, all that shit. It's like, you just make it look.
I hate to be the white guy in this, but
Here come the gray with the shit.
Mixed dogs are actually a lot healthier. The problem with dogs in breeding is the purebred shit. Is when your white best friend, your white girl, wants a fucking poodle, a Labrador, but only a Labrador. The perfect, the same color. Like, my sister's a cute, like, golden mini doodle. They want what they want. You know what I'm saying? So, like. They don't want this fucking mixed pit shit, but he's a healthier dog.
Yeah, then give me the mixed pit shit because I like
much
a healthier
way
dog.
Healthier.
I'm waiting for the code switch moment right here. No,
you'll catch it. But he's been doing it less because now we friends. Because he was trying to, like, when he first hopped on to the No Need for Apology train.
He's like, what's up, bro?
What's up, nigga? Yeah.
Whoa. I can say it.
No, I definitely said it a couple of negries, though.
That's one thing I will say. You never tried to slip the N-word, and I'm proud of you.
What, who the fuck is?
Nigga. You know how many people try to do
there's
that shit?
No. There's not
me and
any.
Me have met so many motherfuckers that think they can get comfy with that goddamn N-word, bruh.
No, listen. Yeah. All jokes aside, I'm from South Florida. I talked like that.
you really have people that will, like, I'm a young white comic. Someone like me would do that to you for real.
Oh, yeah. I've had it.
Yeah.
I've been in the game
a while, bro.
I know.
We've been in
wild.
That's wild.
In the mid-aughts, it was, there was, look at that. I sound like, I sound like the old white guy who comes and brings bagels to the old black guy.
But you was
in the aughts.
But you used
to slip it in. But you do it in the context of talking about it. I wouldn't say it to you. I would say it around you.
I said it with an A.
I would say it. You know the word. I would give you the warning. I would say the word. Brace yourself and then say it while not looking at you, looking down at the ground.
That's so
putting it out there like a animal to be dissected.
I remember when the topic came up, I was bringing bagels to brother Jamal back in 75, see? And we was friends because I was white and he was black, but we all had the same struggles, Holocaust, slavery, you know, everybody got a little thing to them. So we was talking, I was handing bagels, and I was like, so if I were to call you this word in utter friendship, would it work out? And he still said no.
I remember reminding him that I was Irish, and Irish people are the Negronis of Europe. I say Negroni. Now, instead of saying the N-word, I say ninja. Because ninjas, white ninjas like African Americans, are black, and white people enjoy dressing like them for Halloween.
Sean Patton, commitment. That's what it's about.
Commitment.
Commitment to the bit.
But people definitely slip it in.
Yeah, so yeah, Dylan, welcome to the old world, bro.
I'm young, man. We don't do that.
I moved to New York, and most of the alt scene, not most of the alt scene, but a good portion of the alt scene comics were saying the N-word.
That's,
and I got yelled at. Wild Wild West in this motherfucker.
Well, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The alts, they think because we not around that they, oh, this is the alt scene. This is a, what was it called? Was Second City? What the fuck was that called? Upright Citizen Brigade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you catch a weird whiplash night and the motherfucker's trying to make a point, oh, it's coming out.
Yeah.
It's coming out. And you'd be like, oh, here it go.
I'm not going to say who. But I'll tell you, the name is, it's me. I've done it. I myself have had bits where I'm like, no, I'm gonna say it, but I'm making a point here.
Oh, and that's the point.
And then you have your one black friend comic who signs off on it. You're like, fucking Hannibal said it was funny. and then you're like, not Hannibal realizing you're throwing them under the bus. Hannibal didn't sign off on that. I'm just giving an example. Wouldn't. Yeah.
Usually, because the ones I find that the white guys that do the nigga joke, and they sign off, their black friend is usually a dude that is fucking all the white women. So you'd be like, man, that don't really.
Well, it's also like a lot of times, even if the joke, because I think the joke where I said it made sense, and it like made sense to say it, but it was also like, yeah, but it's not my place to be saying it. That was the thing you had to realize.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or if it's a good bit. Right now, it's just, it's not my word to toss around. Walk away from it.
Yeah, I go, hey, white man, do you really want to insert yourself into this shit? I realize you white.
And or just find a different way, or find a way to do the bit without saying the word.
I'm like, well, straight white comic, if you're going to say it, do you think it's going to make you feel better about this set if you actually have to do this joke?
Wait, why do you think straight white comic? Do you think gay white comics can say it? Like, do you think Mateo
wouldn't dare think of that shit? Like, Mateo, get the fuck out of here.
All right, hold on.
See me in a minute. Yeah. I know you got things going.
The NAACP just called him.
Yeah.
I was like, get off the podcast, Monroe. Jesus Christ, what are they saying in there?
No, but.
Yeah, no, I say that not just with the N, with any word that overwhelmingly offends people. You can fucking say it if you want. I'm not saying do whatever you want.
What you're going
to
do,
but also there's a way to use your main, like, be more creative about it.
Absolutely.
Use your fucking intelligence. Use your brain that you claim you have that other people don't have because they can't handle hearing a word that in some way might fucking ruin their day because they've had awful experiences connected to it. Find a better way to say what you're trying to say.
Why comedians
with your brain
are good when they're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
But I mean, you know, like, yeah, it's but you have, I think you have to fucking learn that the hard way, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Because you were talking about younger comics earlier. I feel like there's a large contingency of younger comics now where it's like, oh, y'all are never going to even try to learn it the hard way.
Well, actually, motherfuckers, this is what I see. Dave Temple made a good point. There's motherfuckers out here really trying to get park time now. And you see these hungry motherfuckers trying to do park comedy. So that's another level, because at least we had a venue. Many at least venues. We had somewhere to chill. These niggas outside trying to find jokes. So that go. So to me, I go, that's going to be a new generation of them niggas. It's going to be a bunch of.
I mean,
but that just started.
I'm saying, but y'all still out here.
It's going to be for a while, I think.
And I think it's going to be for a while, but I still see y'all young, hungry niggas like, I got to go to the park then. Like, wow, y'all didn't give up.
Yeah.
I see a lot of y'all going, guess we got to hang out at the park. I see a lot of young boys hanging out trying to get 5 minutes in the park. I'm like, that is dedication.
I know, because I also know a lot of comics who are, you know, have achieved a certain level of success who won't do park shows. Exactly. Like, what are you doing? Get out there.
Absolutely. So you sit there like, oh, shit. So these new guys, these like hyenas, literal niggas outside. It's like,
yeah.
We hanging out. You see the new clicks, the new hangs.
It's also interesting though too, because I've heard younger, you know, 2-3 year comics talking about spot pay. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I firmly disagree with the idea that you should get paid just for showing up in comedy. Like, be good. Like, I didn't think about getting fucking money till like that was the farthest thing from my mind until like 5 or 6 years in.
Dang.
And then I was like, oh, can you make money doing this?
I was making money.
And then maybe 10 years in, I started making money. In
Philly. But I was making a couple of dollars in Philly. I was. Right. But big money, I didn't until it came to New York.
But yeah, but I've been on the road and have honestly had this question before of like, what clubs do you do in New York City? And I start rattling them off. And when I say The Cellar, that one is the one that'll get people's attention. And I had this one fucking dude be like, so wait, so The Cellar pays the most, right? And I remember being like, that's the question you want to ask of everything, of New York comedy. You want to know if The Cellar pays more. So I was like, yeah, man, $1,000 a set. $1,000 a set, man. It's great.
Nah, man, because they don't understand the fiber that is that club. They don't understand the comic fiber that's in there.
Well, I don't think comic fiber. I think that's the thing. I think too many people, and I don't want to be this fucking older guy, but like, I think
I'll agree with you. Shit,
I think there's a lot of people who start comedy and look at it from the get go as a viable career option.
Oh,
and I think that is the wrong idea. I think that's the wrong way to look at it.
Slow
fucking. But also,
hustle.
Just like, it's a passion. You need to be fucking diehard, lifelong passionate about the shit.
Goddamn,
be around in 5 years.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
And like, I feel like a lot of people are just like, I'm 21.
Talk about
it, Sean. I'm going to graduate college. I'm going to move to New York City. I'm going to do comedy for 5 years. I'm going to get a half hour on Netflix. That'll lead into a series on Netflix. By the time I'm 30, I'll be doing theaters. Yeah. And it's like,
no.
That's just not how it fucking works.
I'm telling
them. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But then again, there are people who've been successful and blown up and by 26 are doing theaters and are way mega famous, but they were actually mega talented too.
Yeah,
in a lot of cases.
They came from a fucked up history that cultured them to be able to talk the way they talk at such a young age.
Or the combination of two, like Pete, Davidson, Pete.
That
combination of the two. He's fucking talented and also has a fucking crazy story.
Crazy story, yeah. So
and also, I didn't know he was white until knowing him for like 2 years. I was like, you're white?
That's a strange.
The young comics don't have patience. Like, it's the YouTube shit. It's like the Instagram shit. It's the age of
spin, yeah. As Dave Chappelle said it.
Yeah, like everyone wants to blow up in a week. Everybody wants to.
Yes, I have also definitely, without a doubt, met some younger comics who understand it and who are very fucking good.
Yeah,
and are clearly going to put in the work and be great one day. I've definitely met a lot.
Oh yeah,
of
I'm,
young
not, com- I'm
yeah.
not. I'm
a
not.
A lot of 23-year-old comics who I'm like, oh, this person's going to be fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Like, but Young Degree. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Thank you, guys. I was waiting for it. Hey, guys, make sure to follow me at Dylan J. Neck.
Download his album called Code Switch Operation.
Code Switch. Give it up for Degree. South Florida's South Florida's own Code Switch man.
Called South. Download his album, South African American.
Oh, no. white male black comic. Yeah, how about that? Take that shit from fucking D'Elia since he, you know, he got all them goofy
got
kid
diddled.
Comedy Central
special,
let that shit
that was
fly,
his first
bro.
Special.
That
oh,
shit
yeah.
was a smack in my face. It was a smack in pretty much any black male comic's face. White dude, black comic, come on. And he went up there, all Def Jam. I was like, oh.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Comedy Central, really? You're going to let him have it?
They let him have it. They
I can't win for losing, bro.
Yeah, well, wait, I can't win for what?
You can't win for losing. You can't win. How does that's a who told
nope.
me that once? Can't win. I can't win from losing. Can't
I, wait, no, it's something I've heard before, but I'm trying to think. It doesn't. I can't win.
Can't
from
win for losing. For
losing.
Can't win for losing.
Can't win right. for losing.
Is it for losing? Can't win for losing.
Here we go. Can't win for losing.
Can't win for losing. Right?
Like
is
meaning,
that people have said that?
Like you can't win at losing.
Can't win at losing. Can't win.
Which
for
is
losing.
A which kind
you
of
can't
you
win if you're
lot.
Losing all the time.
Yeah, can't win for losing. As in,
no,
you can't catch a break. Is that what that means?
I'm gonna start saying can't lose for winning.
Can't lose for winning,
and then everything's just taking off and going great.
That's just
can't
that's
lose
the,
for winning.
Can't lose from winning.
Bam.
Can't lose from winning.
Yeah, that can't lose. You
from
cannot
winning.
Lose from winning.
Can't lose from winning.
If
that's
you,
a good. That's
yeah, this
some
is a fact.
Dope shit.
Fact.
The other way,
yeah,
can't
yeah,
win
yeah.
for losing is sad, but
sad. But
can't lose from winning.
If you keep winning, you're never gonna fucking lose. There you go. Yeah. We found a new positive spin.
Yeah.
That's man. That's well. I mean, how are you? Are you going back out?
What you mean?
On the road? Any?
I can't find a gig.
I'm venturing out for the first time this week.
There you go.
North Carolina, Asheville.
There you go. You
but,
can do that.
But still, it's like, I don't know, man. It's just, fuck it. I don't
know. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. For
yeah.
another year or so, it's probably, if they don't, I do not know what we're headed into. Like, I wake up every morning and go, what the fuck is going to happen today, bro?
Yeah, man.
I go when
yeah.
I get a road gig. I hope I can get back on the road because I still had contracts that didn't run up with House of Comedy and Hartford and all this.
Yeah.
So I hope I get it back and get to do the outdoor jams, man. Because I see that it's turning on, and I'm like, can I catch some coming this fire? I mean, I'm in New York, but if I can get on the road and do hours, I'd like to do that. Try out 60 minutes in a new city.
Yeah.
That's outside.
I'd like to do an hour outside.
Yeah,
I'm interested in this. I'm interested in how that would feel.
I did a half an hour out in Long Island City outside yesterday, so and the sun went down on me. The lights came up, the mic cut off, and I had to turn into Shakespeare in the Park. Like, it's just like the elements
yeah.
are everywhere now. You just go, fuck! You just got to adapt. So to adapt in some new city
yeah.
outside would probably be some ill shit.
There is, I will say, there is a level of, I'm going to say confidence. You have to dig deep and find to be... To do outdoor shows successfully.
Yeah.
That does not exist in indoors.
Yeah.
And like, you do not need to successfully do shows indoors. There's a level of, like, I don't need the audience to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that have to go through your head. I know I'm funny. I don't need audience laughter to say that to me. I cannot be distracted by a dog or a child running by or someone loudly walking up going, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And third, the wind. Or a train, or mm-hmm. any of these, or horns going off. Nothing bothers me.
Yeah, nothing.
I can just, you have to almost like you're telling your jokes to yourself.
Absolutely. And I grew up, and I grew up around mirrors as an only child. So this is all, I was prepared for this. But I knew it was going to be different the first time I hosted the Stan's first outdoor show. I got heckled by a bum. That motherfucker came through and almost had to fight him And he, I went, pow, I was like, he doing a drive-by heckling. I went, pow, pow, pow. So the bum was like, now do it again. I was like, pow, pow, pow. And then the bum was like, now let me do it. He went, bang. I was like, oh, you got me. Right? He was like, my shots are a lot worse. You sure you want to be doing comedy, nigga? You fucking suck, nigga. Like, it was this whole thing. White people were all afraid. And I was sitting there like, thank God. This is what comedy is now.
Yeah.
I go, great. I'm going to get heckled by bums and tweakers because this is what the fuck the game is giving me. And should I be like, nah, put my tail in between my legs and fucking quit? Nah, it's like, now you got to deal with this.
That's actually a service someone should provide. If you like being around comedy, sign up to show up to outdoor shows, and when someone's having a rough set, you quote-unquote heckle.
Yeah.
And give them something to fucking
yeah,
deal
man.
With.
Because I felt like, shit, he really got the best of me. Here you go, me, new thinking.
Yeah.
Outdoors, he got the best of me. Shit. And then after I was done the show and they gave me $50 and I ate duck hash, I walked by that same bum and he was asleep on a windowsill.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, he needed that shit.
Did you give him the $50?
Did not. I put it on my Metro card.
Because
you want, because he was big.
Funny ass way to end that story. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I realized that he ain't shit. I'm a comedian.
That motherfucker needed that. He needed to get that out because you are asleep on a windowsill of a business that closed down due from COVID. So you go, who the fuck is really winning? It's tough.
It's a tough time, bro. It's also just like you're reading, man, like I follow a lot of conservative Twitter.
Okay.
Just because I, you know, like you know where their heads are at.
Yeah.
Like it's like, and it's fucking terrifying because of like what they, like both sides are just completely wrong as what they think the other side is up to.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest part is like no one, there is no middle. I feel like in the 90s, or like when I was a kid, you know, when I was like a teenager, I felt like it didn't matter. I mean, not that I had fucking tons of political discussions when I was fucking 17, but I remember adults around me doing it all the time, and then Republicans, Democrats, but they didn't hate each other because of it. And now you've got, I mean, like, there's people on the right who honestly think, like, when that wet-ass pussy song came out, some of the shit these fucking idiots were saying was like, that's insane that you think that this is Cardi B's attempt to recruit young girls into sex work. There were people who honestly believed that sort of shit. But then there are people on the left who honestly believe that, like just because someone's religious, they want to lock all gay people in a cage. It's like, no, not, there's both sides. No, there's a middle ground where we all just want to be chill.
Because you got to understand, this is all I get from politics. We're going to do plugs, and then we're going to watch a video, and then spread that politics with the black woman with the paint. You agree? But give me a second. From what I get, you're absolutely right. It's just, it feels like the right just want to slap a liberal in the face with a Bible.
Right, right.
And a liberal wants to smack a right-wing person in the face with, like, an atheist dick. Like, they just... it's just these two... This is right. No, this is right. And it's just, I'm in the middle just smoking. And I'm I can't... I know that black people are going to die from police either way.
Jesus.
When the fuck does that...
Yeah,
when they gonna catch Breonna's killers? Like when, like I, this what all I can think about is that. Like y'all trying to figure out what's wrong and right. There's still free walking cops who murdered people, and they're still going, and they're still redlining, and they're still this black person can't get this because this is the white way, and there's white kids with rifles and shit. So I don't have
why is no one more concerned with the brass that gave the orders to the cops that killed Breonna Taylor? That's what I'm always worried about, because it's like, those fucking cops that killed her, yeah, fuck them, but they were fault, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were wrong, but the fucking people who gave them the orders, and without the information, that's why it's like, no, what about those people? What about those sergeants?
Yeah.
I don't know how rank and file works.
Yeah, but like, let's get to the source. Like, who the fuck called that when the fucking, the person, now the suspect was at the station?
Right. Like, where's the person who fucked up the order?
Yeah.
That's who you need to be going. Or went to the still wrong gave house. The order. Or they still gave the order.
It was
knowing.
The wrong house.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God.
I think that whenever there's a post of, like, arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor, it's like, but also, what about the person that gave them the order?
Yeah.
Arrest that fucking guy, too. Anyway, but, like, that's...
It's, you know, the whole system.
The whole system.
Arrest the whole system.
I'm from South Florida. Our police, we just have stories of, like, oh, yeah, dude, they're out to get us. Years when I was in college, it came out the whole thing was like drugs and all this shit.
You're saying
arrest? Oh, about those people, you would literally have to arrest the entire police department.
Yeah,
because they're holding their own. They're like, oh no, he didn't do nothing. We're gonna make sure he's okay.
No, man, I got to thinking, I was like, well, goddamn, if we've been oppressed for 400 years, then I guess the oppressor is really good at policing. So you ain't going to just come up against a system that's been this good for 400 fucking years of policing, getting that we this and we going to have, like, that's, they good at that. White people good at policing. From all the shit that I'm reading in history and all that, these motherfuckers know how to police. It's terrible what they doing. It's police is just another cover up for tyrant, fucking awful. But you go, how the fuck do you beat a system that's that in depth? You got to go down to the roots. You got to go past the tree. You got to go into the fucking roots. And you know, how do you do that? How do you uproot some shit that's that goddamn deep? So I'm like, fuck me.
You have to tunnel.
Tunnel.
Like, you come from another,
you gotta
yeah.
gonna have to
yeah.
like how Bugs Bunny did Pismo Beach.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he
yeah.
went under.
Yeah.
You see, Derek, we get shovels.
We're gonna have to tunnel it out. All right. So it's 44 minutes in. Let's get some plugs out so you don't cut off the goddamn show. Sean Patton, tell them what you're doing, man.
Oh, album Scuttlebutt. That's what it's called. All my socials at Mr. Sean Patton. Looks like Mrs. Ian Patton, but it's not. And I'm gonna be back on the road September 2nd and 3rd in Asheville and September 10th, 11th, 12th in Cincinnati at Go Bananas. And there's more. Go to my website, meshawnpatton.com. Doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you for the plug light.
Yeah, this is the plug light.
Ooh.
Sean Patton, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand, I've been a fan of Sean Patton since Comics on 14th and 9th was open. And Hand Whacker was giving out spots except to me. So I was watching Sean go up there and do all kinds of shit. This one, I thought she used to wear eyeliner. I thought she was Persian.
Everybody, I still, to this day, people still think it's...
I'm like, is that nigga Persian?
My beautiful lashes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite fucking shows I ever did at Comics on 9th and 14th. There was a show where Donald Glover was a headliner.
Mm-hmm.
Back when Donald Glover did stand-up. People forget that guy
right.
just came in like a fucking meteorite and just... Yeah. Donald Glover was headlining. Hannibal was hosting. No, Hannibal was featuring, and I was hosting. That was a fun weekend. That's also the only interaction I ever had with Patrice.
Yeah.
Was him and I were on the same show, a St. Patrick's Day show, where he was the headliner, because Patrice O'Neill, right? Yeah. And I had to go up before him, and I was fucking terrified.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he bought me a drink. He was nice about it. But
Patrice
like,
is he's yeah. the reason. He's the reason I kind of I stepped it up, because he gave me that advice, and I thought I wasn't going to get advice from a dragon, because his image was he's a bully. And I met him, and he didn't bully me, but in fact, he kind of sped up my comedy career a little bit.
Yeah.
So
he was I don't know if I'll ever see a person like that again, who when they walk into the room, the entire everything, not just the people, the things in the room become aware.
Yeah.
Like they're all, like you see fucking like they're all, like Beauty and the Beast. Like you just see like the lamp turns and looks at him.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Cuz he was a presence.
Yeah.
And he was a presence to every kind of comic. The black urban comic, the mainstream white. Like, oh shit, here come this nigga Patrice, bruh, with his insight or his perspective.
Yeah.
It was the perspective that everybody kind of lingered around. Like, it was crazy to watch how this dude would operate. Like, everybody was kind of shook of him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, and I was watching, I remember the first time at Comics, I saw him rock a Hot 97 crowd.
Oh, wow.
I saw him rock and sit down.
Yeah.
He sat down and rocked.
Explains what a Hot 97
crowd
is.
Hot 97
crowd,
okay. Yeah. Back when Cypher Sounds, one of the guests we're going to be having in September, I already put it in the books, Cypher used to do these comedy shows before he was good, so he was still more radio.
Right.
So if Cypher said, I'm having a comedy show, Comics wasn't coming out. Comic enthusiasts, it was rappers, it was bad bitches, it was A&Rs, it was motherfuckers that worked at Warner, it was motherfuckers that worked at Hot 97, BET. Like, it was raucous up in Comics that night. It was basically the Black Night, hosted by a Puerto Rican, right? So everybody goes up. This one, Rob Stapleton was going up. This one, I was going up with the little funky sneakers, getting my little twos and fews off, right? But I remember one night, Patrice came in with a Pelly Pelly. It was like one of my first weekends in New York. And I saw everybody go up, and they had to really commit
spar,
to that kill because they was fighting a rap crowd. Fucking the Lox was in the fucking crowd.
Yeah, wow.
Fucking Sheik Looch was there. Yeah, I remember this shit. Sheik was actually in the room with Red Cafe. This is fucking real. And Patrice go out. He go, who next? I see him. Like, I was backstage. And he was like, who next? And he was like, am I after that? I made sure to go into the showroom to see what the fuck this dude was going to do.
Yeah, you have to watch.
Who is this guy that everybody's afraid of? Can he do what he can do in front of all this Hot 97 horse shit? Patrice goes out. They rowdy as fuck. They didn't even care that he walked out on stage. So Patrice looks at everybody. I'll never forget this because I was brand new to the city. He looked at everybody and was like, whatever. He sat down and dropped the mic, put it between his legs, and just waited for everybody to shut the fuck up. And they did.
Yeah.
And then he just started doing that pre-Elephant in the Room material before it was Elephant in the Room. And I'm watching, and he's slaying him. He did not stand up once. He's sitting down in front of Hot 97, going on him. And by the end of it, they stood up for him. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah, man.
They stood up for him. And I was like, my jaw was like, I was like, that's what comedy is. Like, my head went, that's what the fuck you moved here for. That shit.
Fuck.
So I was like, yeah. And that was the night he gave me a ride home because Syph introduced me to him because I was living in Jersey City. Patrice lived in Jersey City at the time.
Oh.
And then the fucking story was this. Like, I'll never forget. It was like yesterday. It was within 2 weeks of me moving to New York City, to Jersey City to be leaving Philly, whatever. Everybody told me to leave Philly, come up here because it's the promised land. And I didn't know yet until this night. So Patrice gives me a ride home. And I'm scared.
Yeah.
It's just this big black motherfucker driving a big ass Yukon. It was a Denali. And he was just talking about how he has enough love for another bitch other than the bitch he was with at the time. It was Vaughn. So he was like, I just want to fuck another chick. That I already got my chick, but I have more love to give because I'm tired of giving love to her. I want to give love to a whole nother bitch, and my bitch won't go for it. Like, this is what he was talking about the whole time. So right before he dropped me off, I go, hey, Patrice, man, I'm scared. Is there any advice you can give a young comic out here just trying to, you know, just trying to figure out the game? He kind of looked in the sky. He was like, I'm done. I hate stand-up. I hate comedy. I really do. This is all for you. These young shit, this comics. After he murdered. Comic shit, this is for y'all. So I guess, I don't know, write prolific shit, get on stage, and get the fuck out of my car. Like, why the fuck are you still in my car, nigga? I was like, yeah, you're right. And then I got out, and he closed it, and he cracked the window a little bit. He was like, I see you around the block, little nigga. And then he took a U-turn and went up JFK. And I was just... and I was like, write prolific shit, get on stage, and keep it moving.
Yeah.
And so get the fuck out of my car was that whole, like, this ain't no glamour to this shit.
Yeah.
There ain't no rhyme or reason. If you want to be funny, be funny, nigga. Like, that's what I got. Like, it wasn't glitzy. It wasn't no... I didn't get pampered. It wasn't no love to it. It was like, this is what you do.
Right.
Now leave me the fuck alone. I'm like, yeah, you right. So I'm like, yeah, that's the advice. And then from then on, they was like, yo, he the best. So I was like, well, shit, I just got the advice from the best.
And then thrown out of his car.
And then thrown out
and
of his car.
And then kicked the fuck out to go.
Get the fuck, why? Like, he was like confused as to why. Nigga, why are you still in my car? Like,
it was so great. Asking me for advice?
For advice? Who the fuck
after
is this
after I gave
nigga,
you
man?
A ride home?
Yeah. That's... So he could get off his thoughts. Because he was just talking about being polyamorous. That's basically what, I want to date another bitch. I want to love another bitch. My bitch gets on my nerves, but I love her enough. That's all for her.
Right.
But I got more love in my heart for someone else. And my little punk ass was like, that's weird. I don't understand. Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, what? Weird? What? Church? Nigga, what? I was like, I go to church. And I don't know if that. He said, church? Nigga, what? That's what he said. This is Patrice O'Neal. He said, you love your mom, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, you love your father, right? I was like, yeah. He was like, then why can't I love a bitch and love another bitch? It's the same heart, right, little nigga? He's like, right, little nigga? It's the same heart, right? Yeah. And I was like, well, shit, yeah.
He was a presence.
And I was like, well, goddamn. And this is all the conversation right before I got kicked out the car. So I never forget Patrice. And then I saw him at Caroline's 2 weeks before he slipped into a coma. So I was like, yep. It all had to happen.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Get out the car.
Get the fuck out the car. As in, keep it moving. Write your shit, get on stage somewhere, and find somewhere else to get on stage.
You're not going
to
get on stage in my car.
You're not going to get on stage in my car.
Yeah.
You can't hustle with me.
Right.
This stand up, nigga. This you by yourself. You up there with a mic and your thoughts. Make it happen. I'm like, God damn. So to get it that kind of intensive, it wasn't. I don't have that soft shit because, like, the dude, the elephant in the room told me, write and get on the mic. I'm like, all right.
The mammoth.
And I was like, I guess that's it.
Fuck, man.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
And that happened within 2 weeks of me moving to New York. So it was like a confirmation. I was like, shit, I got the advice from the best dude, the most revered nigga, told me, little ass Derek, write, get on stage. That seems to be the way because I don't like this shit. This is all for you. That's what he said. So I was like, all right, word.
Damn.
And to get the fuck out the car was just like, oh, this is New York. I love this shit. This ain't no love to this. It's like, this is New York City, bro. Hustle. That's what it taught me. And I was like, well, goddamn.
That's fucking hilarious. Because my version was I ordered a drink, and when I was given the money to pay, the bartender goes, no, Patrice got it. When I looked over, he just went. that was his version. I got the same shit, though. I was like, get out the car, write jokes, be good enough it's to like, where someone always buys you a drink.
Some of the stories that
become
I heard.
Become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made Lisa Lampanelli cry, and at the table in the back of the cellar. I remember one time he got banned from the cellar so many times for just being himself. Wow. And he didn't give a fuck. And they always asked for him. But like Patrice just was. I remember one time I had a chance to chill with him. And I went to go to some goofy party with a bunch of Spanish girls with big butts. Still didn't get no play. And I could have hung out with Patrice. But I heard that night he was eating wings, holding court. And as loud as he could in the cellar, he just eating wing. And he had wing sauce on his mask. And he went, white people are liars. They're liars. He said no, as loud as he could. And the whole club was, but they couldn't. It's Patrice, bro.
Yeah. Presence.
Yeah, the presence, bro. You go, wow, that's a.
That's what Patrice is actually French for presence. Patrice. Hey, Patrice have presence. No, it's not French. I don't speak French.
Well, yeah. And
people assume that because I'm from Louisiana, I speak French. I'm like, people from Louisiana barely speak English.
Yeah.
Barely.
Y'all the NOLA camp. Y'all drinking, y'all party. That's what I know y'all for. Y'all drinking party.
Well, New Orleans is different. New Orleans is like, it's not Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
It's in Louisiana, but it's the same way Austin's not Texas.
I got you. Yeah. Because I know in New Orleans, Van Damme did that movie where he had long hair, and he said, mon cher. Hard Target.
Van Damme.
They filmed some movie in New Orleans called Hard Target.
From Miro, Louisiana.
Yeah, and he was like, mon cher. Like, he was doing the French karate things. But yeah, all right. Negri, play this video just so me and Sean can tag it, and then we get the fuck out of here.
For the black people. They destroying businesses for black people. They're looting for black people. They do it for black people, right? Black lives matter. Black lives matter. But you want to defund the police for black people. You're lying. No, we're not standing for Black Lives Matter. We want our police. Refund our police.
Yes?
Refund our police.
Okay. Let the whole thing play.
Black lives. Refund the police. Refund the police. They say Black Lives Matter. They say Black Lives Matter, right? They say Black Lives Matter. Oh, they don't care about Black Lives. They don't care about Black Lives.
Cops just standing
there. They don't care. They don't care.
What's that guy doing?
Oh. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. They don't care about Black Lives. They lie. They liars. They're liars. They say they care about Black Lives. They're saying to defund the police. All for the sake of black people. The Blasio doesn't care about black people. The Blasio doesn't care about the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police.
Fuck you.
Refund the police.
Fuck
you.
Oh, the cop fell.
Refund the police. Refund the police. Refund the police. Jesus matters. Jesus matters. We will never support Black Lives Matter.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. She a goofy Christian.
Well, no fucking.
What are you a goofy Christian?
What's her being Christian got to do with
it? She said Jesus matters. You hear her say that then? She said, Jesus matters. Refund the police. Jesus matters.
But what does that have to do with anything?
Because that's I hate to say this. But when black people are going through shit, they scapegoat as the Lord somehow. Like, I've seen this. Like, we're going through shit. But for you to go ahead and, I don't know what the fuck that was. She could have got a paint roller or something. Like, she could have made it. Like, maybe one of the rollers.
The Lord told her to do it with her hands.
But just to mush it around, I don't even understand where Jesus had to come in with that. I know he looking down like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, let the movement happen. This was the war I was talking about. Bitch, this is the war. For good versus evil, this is what the fuck this is. And now you are blurring the weird ass, I don't know what the fuck to do with. Like, what do you see? Like, I saw a black woman saying they don't believe and Black Lives Matter, refund the police.
Mm-hmm.
Are you helping? Are you hurting? It looked like you're hurting because the black dude was clearly upset. Well, fuck you, bitch. Like, that's as much as he could get out.
There's a lot going on here.
There's a lot going on right there.
Is it me or Do the cops let her get kind of far?
Let her do that? Like, oh yeah, she fought us.
Does it not look like they were like,
yeah, let her, yeah.
We appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's always good to have a fan. Yeah, thanks for being a fan, but goddamn,
we gotta do this because you know it's the policies and stuff.
Yeah, we like that you're smearing.
Yeah.
We like that you in the coon registry and you doing coon shit because cops love coons and we love when y'all go against what the real problems are and just distract people from
for
us
no
killing
reason.
People. Like, so I don't know. I can't take a side.
Let her get the L out of there.
Yeah.
They're like, let her get one letter out. Let her get the L. And it's back letter. People matter, and then, you know, people in the back.
Yeah, the people, us, the guys in the back. Yeah, just let her get one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let her
yeah.
paint over at least like, the right, CK one. Part. Yeah. Blah matters.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know where the fuck to go with that. All right, nah, because if I open that up to people to DM No Need for Apologies, they're going to get racist.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I think the reason why I have this video is because exactly that. It's fucking confusing.
It's confusing.
It makes no sense.
Look at Sean's face. Paint on Sean. Sean is I'm confused, too. I don't know where to go with that one. She said Jesus matters, which he does, but...
Yeah,
I don't understand why in that context would you
like look how far this is a minute and 45 of a 4 minute video.
They let her rock. They let her rock with this horseshit.
How is she not dragged away?
When is this from?
When?
Yeah,
I saw this circulating a lot, but this video was posted July 18th.
Oh fuck!
Does this? It looks like DC.
No, they're in New York.
They're in New York.
It is New York.
And she said De Blasio doesn't care about
De Blasio.
Oh, okay.
They're in New York. The way my
look
man said, fuck you, she's bitch.
Still doing
that
it.
That was a New York kind of fuck okay. you, bitch. That thing
I live right by
lawless.
I live right by the mural in Bed-Stuy, so I was wondering.
I don't understand her reasoning. I would actually want to talk to her. I said, what the fuck
get
was
on
that
the episode.
About? What are you so upset about? Like, I want to know. They lying and she putting the paint over the... I don't get to refund the police. Really?
Yeah, no, the police have not lost
they're funded,
any money.
Baby.
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
funded.
They not haven't been defunded yet. So yeah.
That's what we're fighting for. We haven't got to that point yet.
Yeah. Bitch, refund.
At least have Ron help her write a better slogan for her breakdowns.
Yeah, like you know? Refund the police, black lives don't matter, Jesus matters. Nah, you need a different script.
You're wrong on almost all of them.
That's where you lose me when people start getting too religious.
But for what? Like I don't understand why Christ had to be right there.
You already said it. Scapegoat.
It was a scapegoat.
You said right? it. Scapegoat. She's over here doing fuck all. Listen, I get it. It's a weird fucking time out here, but what is this
but
doing?
What does that do? Yeah. Well, how does that help?
What is this? The what
black
the fuck
race?
Is this?
You look like, in the words of Keith Robinson, she needs to register for the coon. She needs to be in the coon registry. Jeez. And I know y'all get weird with coon, but for me as a black dude looking at another black woman.
Explain.
I don't understand. I want to protect her, but what the fuck am I protecting? Like, the cops look like they're protecting her. Come on, man. Shoot.
So let me get... You're on the side of... Let's find them. Let's find the.
I'm on
my
the fuck you,
part
bitch.
Of the video.
I don't want to say fuck you, bitch, to a black woman, but I'm like,
where
what
is
the
he?
Fuck is she doing?
I've learned better than
that. Police! Refund the police! Refund the police! Fuck you! Refund the police!
Fuck you!
Refund
you're
the police!
He pissed!
Refund the police!
This guy's rolling
refund
in.
Refund the police!
I want to...
I don't get it.
They have to get defunded first, you
gotta get
fucking
defunded,
idiot.
Right? That is the most...
Like, we haven't even got there.
That is a brain scratcher.
That
makes me scratch my
that's a paint scratcher, Derek.
Yeah. Paint scratcher, that's what it is. And I'm just mad that she couldn't get a roller. Why the fuck did she get
a towel? A towel, literally
well,
anything else.
I mean, there's
else.
Plenty of videos of that. Though.
They could have stopped by a Home Depot first. If you're trying to anti-protest and you black, first of all, that's already weird enough for you to stand alone. That's a unicorn I just saw. That's some unicorn shit I just saw. Black woman with big old fat booty hips. All that goop, all that delicious laundry butt ass that
refund
I really wanted to lick on. And now I can't lick on it because... I don't know where your ass has come from. You racist or are you for the cops? Are you on that Blue Lives Matter shit? Like, I don't know. Refund some motherfuckers that ain't
that's
even
a Fox
yet.
News shit. Religious racist.
But how do you... The cops ain't defunded. That's why motherfuckers are marching on Washington.
Yeah.
But you here...
She's just
misinformed, but...
Yeah. Angry and pissed off and thinks...
And you can't explain that. And the nigga that said, fuck you, bitch... I get where he come from, but I'm not going to call her a bitch, but goddamn, lady.
She might be
you should have used the fucking paint roller. Right? Could have went to Home Depot, got the little orange tray, put some black in there, made it nice.
No.
She really mammied that shit.
That's protesting. You're making a point.
The irony of it is, The irony of it is you trying to stand on something. Okay, here's the message, and I'm out. All right. Thank you, Sean Patton. You can sing in the background if you want as we wrap up the show. Yeah. My final thoughts for today's episode of No Need for Apologies.
Final thoughts, girl.
Hey, girl, if you're going to get on your hands and knees, try to deface a Black Lives Matter, you know, mural, that's clearly something that we need right now. Thank you.
Spread it with your booty today.
I say spread it with your ass. Sit in the paint and then galosh your ass across the BLACK. You know,
like you did
sit
when
on
you
black.
Was younger.
Sit on black like you've done when you was younger. She was a thick black woman, man. That shit hurts my feelings that she said refund police that ain't even fucking
defunded
yet.
They haven't lost any money yet.
They haven't lost a goddamn dime. These niggas got riot gear. I saw a cop with riot gear that had the Mercedes logo on that bitch.
Damn. Oh.
So,
Tesla makes cop cars now.
So pray to the Lord Jesus that you get informed before you go out there and make a mammy of yourself. All right? I love you. Yeah, big old hips.
Birth of hips.
But I don't understand why.
Birth
the fuck
a
you.
Better point of view, woman.
Yeah. Birth a better point of view, bitch. Birth a better point of view. That's what you need. Birth a new point of view, because the nation and the level that we in right now, we need more help than we do hurt. And bitch, you was hurting me with that video.
Stop hurting me, baby.
It feel hard. Like Kyle Groom said, it's like 9/11 in my chest right now.
And so, if your chest had two hearts and one,
but you get it.
Two hearts.
Stop flying
my chest.
Stop flying planes into the bullshit and help out. All right. Stop hijacking people's emotions with
have
this horseshit.
Emotional TSA.
Yeah, man.
Making sure you ain't got
so
hijack black weapons.
So black lives ultimately do matter. They
yes,
do.
Yes, they do.
If you forgot.
Yes, Black Lives Matter.
So, with that being said, I love everybody. And if you're being weird, go fuck yourself. And I'm Derek Gaines.
Cover yourself in black paint.
Cover yourself in black paint. And then
that's the opposite of blackface. You did black
paint.
Body.
Yeah, and then put feathers on your body and then run around if you're going to be a jackass like you just were in that video. Mm-hmm. So,
cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. If you're going to act like chicken shit, do it somewhere else.
Lay some eggs and make breakfast.
Bang. That's what it is. Remember like that part on... Okay, I'm in it on this. Since we're talking about breakfast, this shit gets me every time. Remember on Twister when they went over to the grand aunt's house and they was all having steak and eggs?
Oh,
and the dude
yeah.
was like, where you getting all the steak from? And she was like, you see the cows that I got in my front? He was like... And she was like, oh, he was like, oh, I was like, yeah. So steak comes from cows, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Derek Gaines. This is Sean Patton. Monroe Martin will be back next week. This has been another splendiferous episode of No Need for Apologies.